have a seat. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church and for our Wednesday night service. And glad all those who are here are. Yeah, we got a rowdy bunch tonight. You can't tell on the Facebook land and out there in the parking lot, but we have a rowdy bunch in here. So they are ready to praise the Lord, and I hope you are too. And so we're going to start our service off tonight, number 156. Were you there? 156.
Thank you, Sister Nancy and Brother Ken. All right, if you would take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Proverbs, chapter 18. I've started on Psalms 104, which would be basically the twin to 103. As I began to pray this evening, I feel like the Lord brought me over here to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. And so tonight we'll kind of have a discussion on these and kind of pick up where we left off in our Proverbs study a few months ago. But before we do, I do want to remind you that we've got an exciting weekend coming up and looking forward to what God's going to do, but also it's a busy weekend. And so be praying for all those that will be involved, and pray that everybody stays well and everything like that. But most importantly, pray that the Lord Jesus will be lifted up And again, we're claiming 400 tonight, 800 that we passed by here. And just to let you know that God does, and he answers our prayers. Sunday we had 89, I think it was, or either 88 on campus. And then we had another 430-something on Facebook. And we had, really, in our service, we had over 120 involved. And that's the Lord allowing us, before everything went on, that was about our average. So God has brought us faithful, and he's been good to us through this all, and just thankful for that. Do we have any words of praise tonight, any words of testimony? Amen. Amen. Anyone else tonight? Good to have Brother Wayne here. Brought him. Amen. Amen. Continue praying for him. He's a little weak. Also, we will be doing prayer needs at the end, but Miss Henrietta Roach, she's got COVID, and basically all the youngins and in-laws, son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, all of them's been exposed. So that's Brother Keith, Brother Glenn, Miss Anita, the whole family, basically. So just pray. Some of them's had one of their shots, so praying that that'll kindly fight it off. Anyone else with words of praise or testimony tonight? All right, if you would stand with me in the honor of God's word, and again, we'll be reading from the Christian Standard tonight. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, but also want to remind you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things for you. And we're thankful for those of you that's joined with us tonight by Facebook, those that's in the parking lot perhaps, and also those of you that'll be joining in Facebook later on. And we just pray that God bless you and you find the favor of the Lord resting upon you. Proverbs 18, verse 1. One who isolates himself pursues selfish desires. He rebels against all sound wisdom. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only wants to show off his opinion. When a wicked person comes, contempt also comes, and along with dishonor, desertion. The words of a man's mouth are a deep waters, a flowing river, a fountain of wisdom. It is not good to show partiality to the guilty, denying an innocent person justice. A fool's lips lead to strife, and his mouth provokes a beating. A fool's mouth is his devastation, and his lips are a trap for his life. A gossip's words are like choice foods that go down to the one's innermost being, or another translation is as food that goes down to the chambers of the belly, is another interpretation. Verse 9, the one who is lazy in his work is a brother to a vandal. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are protected. The wealth of the rich is his fortified city. In his imagination, it is like a high wall. Before his downfall, a person's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. The one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and a disgrace for him. A person's spirit can endure sickness, but who can survive a broken spirit? The mind of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks it. A person's gift opens doors for them and brings them before the great. The first to state his case seems right until another comes and cross-examines him. Casting the lot ends quarrels and separates powerful opponents. An offended brother is harder to reach than a fortified city, and quarrels are like the bars of a fortress. From the fruit of a person's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is filled with the product or the fruit of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The poor person pleads, but the rich one answers roughly. And one that would find One that would have friends must show themselves friendly, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, it's just been a beautiful day as it started out overcast and a little bit gloomy. But Lord, then you parted the skies and the blue and the sunshine came in. And God, it's just a reminder, Heavenly Father, Lord, that when the gloom and the darkness come into our life, God, you're still on the throne and the sun is still in control. And so, God, we praise you for that tonight. Thank you for saving me. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cover my inadequacies with your blood. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you've brought us here together. And so we gather in your name. And I ask that you take your word and give wisdom to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. The reason that we've kindly come to this tonight is I was, like I told Brother Wayne, I was studying 103 and 104 where we had been at last week. But there are two passages in Proverbs 18 that has been used in our Sunday morning messages within the past month. If you remember, we preached a sermon about living in the furnace and how to get outside the furnace. And one of those was to take control of your mind, that our flesh will run and sometimes it can carry us away. And also it can bring us down, just like when doctors tell you something or they say we see this or whatever, especially when someone's told cancer, they have cancer, that can knock your legs out from underneath you. And so that verse there in verse 14, where it says an individual spirit will endure. We talked about how that helps us with our mind. And then also, last Sunday, when we studied the names, if you remember, we talked about one of the names of Christ is the strong tower or the strong fortress. So it's kind of building on what we've been studying on Sunday mornings. But if you remember, a proverb is basically a concise but brief statement that imparts general advice and wisdom. In Proverbs, remember, they were written by the wisest man that's ever been, King Solomon. And yet, we see in his wisdom, he still did not use it in his life. So he may have had the knowledge, but he did not apply it to understanding. And we see that he let himself be led astray by his many brides and concubines. But the three basic parts of wisdom that's covered is there is general wisdom, and then there is insight for rulers, leaders, and basically those that are in places of authority. And then there are also wisdom for parents and wisdom for children. Now tonight, Proverbs 18 falls under the category of general wisdom. In fact, if you look at it, if your Bible has it broke down, it looks like each one of these sayings kind of stand on their own and they really don't tie back to the one previous to it, except for verses 6 and 7 and then also verses 20 and 21. Those two link together. But the rest of them are kindly like, you know how the old Confucius say, and the one-liners. Well, basically, that's what we have here. One-liners of wisdom given to us by the wisest man who's ever been. So let's begin tonight. And here's what I want to do. I kindly want you to talk back to me, okay? I'm not good at teaching, so you have to just jump in, okay? But let's read the first one. One who isolates themselves pursues selfish desires. They rebel against sound wisdom. Now, this is very relevant for us right now because we're living in a time where we're being told to isolate ourselves and to be alone. And so when we do that, the kind of thing here, what do you think that the idea here is? Why is it not good for us to isolate ourselves? Well, how many opinions do you have when you isolate yourself? One. And you know what? We do that because we don't want to hear others' opinion. We think for our own selves. We like our own opinion. And we shut everybody off. That's why we have Fox, CNN, MSNBC, and all that. Because we find the one that fits with our mind and fits with our way of thinking. And we don't listen to the rest of the ideas. That's why I'm so thankful for our deacon board. That they will be willing to speak and tell me, well, hey, this is how I feel or this is how I feel. But notice, it says they rebel against sound wisdom. What, meaning that they don't want, even though it may be good. I mean, some of the laws that's been passed lately go straight against common sense with the issue of gender and all those things, but they don't want to hear it, so they've isolated themselves in their own way of thinking, and what does it happen? They are rebelling against the sound wisdom of our Creator. Amen? And that's what we've done. Look there in verse 2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only wants to show off his opinion. Anybody know anybody like that? Huh? Exactly. A lot of this went back, and we're going to talk more about it. But listen what Ecclesiastes, it also refers to this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. Listen, it says, the words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consumes him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and at the end his talk is evil. Madness. A fool multiplies words, but no man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will be after? How many of you have ever heard and listened to somebody that's able to use eloquent words, and they are able to speak with charisma and enthusiasm, but yet when they get done, they've really not said anything? J. Vernon McGee says we've got really good at saying nothing. I can't help but think about our president 2 presidents ago. Barack Obama's one of the smoothest talkers I've ever heard. But sometimes when he would speak, there was nothing that was said there. How about the debates? You know, they would ask them a question and then they'd just randomly go off and say what they wanted to say. So we see that even though it may sound pretty and it may sound good, you have to judge it by what the substance of what they're saying is. And in that, now again, the Bible teaches that we're not to call any man a fool. Is what only God can call a man a fool, but we judge them by their fruits. And here it's going to talk about the product or the fruit of one's mouth. Look at verse 3. It says, when a wicked person comes, contempt, or another word there is disrespect. When a wicked person comes, disrespect also comes, and then along with dishonor and desertion. Why would dishonor and desertion come from one who does not respect you or does not respect the institution that's here? Think about it. If you don't respect me, then you're not going to care what you do to me. You understand what I'm saying? You don't care if you hurt my feelings. You don't care if you run me down because you don't respect me. So the desertion and the dishonor goes hand in hand with it. Same thing is true with the institution, the church. If someone does not respect the church, then they're going to do whatever they want to do. There's a church over in Lee County. When you go out of Jonesville on the left, they've got their air conditions mounted up on top of the front porch. Why? Because somebody stole their air conditionings and they put them up there. But how could they steal? How could they be comfortable stealing them? Because they did not respect it. And so it doesn't bother them to hurt it or to harm it. So we see that through disrespect comes dishonor and desertion. The words of a person's mouth are as deep waters, a flowing river, and a fountain of wisdom. Now this one took me a little while. Think about this. It's a hot, sunny summer day. It's up around 100, 101, and you're able to go down to the stream, and you put your feet in the stream, and it's so clean and clear around here that you just cup yourself a handful of water. Oh, and it's good. And then you go, at the end of it. That's kind of the picture that we see right here. That wisdom is refreshing like good cold water or like a stream. It washes over us and it rejuvenates us, invigorates us through that wisdom. And so the words of wisdom we take and apply it to our lives. Notice verse 5. It says, it is not good to show partiality to the guilty, denying the innocent person. Now, Solomon has already covered this back in chapter 17. He says, to impose a fine on a righteous man is not good, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. And really and truly, I believe we're living in a country now where evil and wickedness is being condoned and doing right or righteousness is being punished. I think about was it in Washington State where they took over the whole city and they just basically renamed it and did all that, and then the powers that be allowed it and just let it go on, and people were getting hurt, people were getting raped and all that. Well, that's basically what we see here. There was partiality showed to the wicked, and in that, those of us that's living and trying to live for the Lord and be right, then we are the ones being harmed in that. Verse 6, a fool's lips lead to strife, meaning quarrels and fighting, and their mouths provoke beatings. Speaking without wisdom leads to quarrel and fightings. And many times I've heard the saying, don't write a check with your mouth that your rear can't cash. And that's basically what we got here. Many fights start over somebody gabbing their mouth and talking too much. First-hand experience. I've been that one. Only time I've ever been knocked out was me running my mouth too much. But you see here is that, and later, I don't remember where it's at in Proverbs, but it says, beat the foolishness out of them. I mean, basically is the idea. And we see here in verse 7, it's a reinforcement of verse 6. A fool's mouth is their devastation. Remember, brings on their beatings. Their lips are a trap for their life. And we're going to see more about the trap or the snares that we speak with our mouth. Verse 8, a gossip's words are like choice food that goes down into the chambers of their belly. Now, what do you think that means, Brother Ken? What is one word that we use to describe gossip? It's juicy. Some juicy gossip. Thing is, all of us have the tendency to want to listen to gossip. And to some, it's almost like good food. I mean, they take it in and they bring it in and they take it down inside of them. And also, sometimes when gossip comes, people will hold on to the gossip and reject the truth. We'll reject what's there. Why? Because they like it. We like it. It does something for our flesh when we partake of that gossip. It is. Amen. We're not one to go around spreading rumors. It does give you a feeling of superiority and that you know the situation. Mm-hmm. And yeah, exactly. And that's pleasant to our flesh. We like that feeling. Verse 10, it says, the one who is lazy in their work is brother to the vandal. I've got a friend who got a double-wide trailer in the past few weeks, and when they put it together, they were supposed to have, you know, when they drive those things and bring them in, lots of times the sheetrock can crack around the windows and things like that. And then also when you put the trailers together, you have to go in there and trim it out, meaning you have to run different types of wood and things like that. And what happened is when they set it up, my friend told me he did a sloppy job on what he did, doing the trim work, and then he didn't even touch where the cracks were on anything like that. And he called the factory. He called the ones that he worked for. So how is it that if you're lazy in your work, how is it that you'll be a vandal or a master of destruction? After a while, it's going to be hard for you to find a job because that's your reputation. If you do sloppy work, then sooner or later, nobody's going to hire you. And so therein is your destruction. If a man don't work, he don't eat, is what the Bible teaches. Amen? You are. Amen. Amen. And that's what my friend said. He said, I don't want to be nitpicky, but I'm going to be because of the way that I've been treated already through this. And so now here in verse 10, anybody else on that? For instances that you've worked with somebody that halfway or halfway did their job? Slap it on her. That's the way it is. I mean, it is what it is. But now the next one is one we know. But when I studied it out this afternoon, it really became more visual to me. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are saved. And what we picture many times there is kind of like a castle. But what I found out was this. In ancient times, what would happen is you might have a little colony or a little city that was there. And what they would do, they had their little thatch houses and their, sod-type living places or things like that. But they would find the highest hill, and on that hill they would take stone and they would build a tower. Or basically a top fortress, you know. And then with the marauders or the bad guys came and they were coming to loot and ransack the village, what the people would do is they would gather up their family and they would gather up what they could carry, and the whole city would run to the tower and get in that tower and be safe from the marauders and those that were coming out to steal their stuff. But also they were able to fight better because they had the high ground, you know. And so that is a beautiful picture when we think of Christ Jesus being our tower. When the marauder or our enemy Satan comes against us in the spirit, we can run to the tower of Jesus Christ and not only be found safe in him, but also be able to be offensive in our the war that we have with him. Any other thoughts on that? It's a pretty picture, though, isn't it? It's beautiful. Anyone else? Verse 11, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. In their imagination, it is like a high wall. Anybody want to... Safety and assurance. They presume that there's their wealth or their money and also their position, because that places them up in a high place. They feel like that their wealth gives them safety and assurance. But truly, we all understand that we have no control over anything that's going on around us. In verse 12, before their downfall, a person's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. What verse comes to mind when you hear that one? And a haughty spirit before destruction. Proverbs 16:18. What is the best commentary on the Bible? The Bible, exactly. And you know what else? Some scripture is difficult to interpret. There's nothing about that. We know that, but what do? We take scripture that we understand the interpretation of and lay it beside that which is more difficult to understand and allow it to bring the truth out, just like we're doing here. We've got Proverbs 16, and then we lay Proverbs 16:18 aside Proverbs 18:12, and they validate each other. But Christ Jesus also taught on this subject, if you'll remember. Over in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 8, listen what he says. When you are invited to someone's wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited both of you come and say to you, give your place to this person, and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then will you be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So again, what do we have? We have the words of Christ Jesus that we can lay alongside of Proverbs 18 and Proverbs 16, and it helps bring out more clarity. Amen? 13. The one who gives an answer before they listen is foolish. It is foolishness and a disgrace for them. Anybody ever did that? I have. And I try to answer the question and ain't even on the right topic. I've had that happen before. You know what I mean? Oh, that's a good idea, preacher, but we ain't talking about that, you know? This is the verse 14 is the one, you know, that we used about taking hold of our thoughts. The Bible says that we're to take hold of our thoughts, and not only us, but the Holy Spirit to take control. I'll be honest with you, the other day I had an MRI, and just laying in that thing, not being able to move, I was freaking out. I almost had to hit the panic button. But I began to pray, Holy Spirit, take control of my flesh. Take control and give me peace. But here it says, a person's spirit can endure sickness, but who can survive? Who can survive when it's broken? You can call it drive. You can call it determination. I like to call it grit. An old saying, you can't measure grit. Because a lot of people, even friends of mine, when they get those the cancer diagnosis or whatever it might be, the fight that you have in you makes a lot of a difference in the ending. One of the main top one of the pitchers is Patrick Swayze. I've watched things on him, and he shouldn't have lived as long as he lived after he was diagnosed with cancer, but they say he had the strongest drive inside of him and the strongest will to live inside of him. But when the spirit is broken, who can survive it? And we've all seen people that get to that point. And sometimes when they lose a spouse, you know, after that, it's just hard. But praise God, we have that spirit that causes us to push on. Any other thought on that? Amen. That's exactly right. Isn't it awesome how the Bible it's like Legos or building blocks. It just builds like that. Verse 15, the mind of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ear of the wise seek it. Now, we've talked about what a discerning spirit is, and it kind of threw me off here, but basically what it means is an intelligent mind. The mind of the intelligent acquires knowledge. Basically, the picture here is, you see, and it's talked about the rich, how the rich will gather up treasures and money and all that. Well, one who is a wise man, or one who is has good understanding, instead of riches only, they'll be pulling in knowledge and all that they can get through that. Amen. Amen. And that's me. I just enjoy reading scriptures. But, you know.
And not only scripture, but whatever topic is out there. If it's something that interests you, you read it. You'll never go wrong with it. You can watch as many documentaries or read as many books as you want. There's something else out there that you haven't read or haven't heard.
Amen. Like the Strong Tower. I mean, I thought I had a grasp of that understanding and what it meant, but then when I read on it today, it was a little bit different than what I thought it was. The next one, verse 16, a person's gift opens the door for them, and it brings them before the great. Now, some commentaries would describe this as a bribe, but it's not that. It's a sincere gift that one gives to another. But in giving that, what happens? It opens up the doors. I mean, that's just the way it is. I can't help but think about when we went to Belize and those dum-dums. that we, the suckers that we carried down there. Was it a bribe? No, it was a gift. We wanted them, but through that gift, the doors were open to us, not only to speak to them, but to speak to their parents. You know, it placed us in a position of greater authority to speak with people of greater authority. Amen. So I did too when I immediately read this. Yeah, I mean, and the gift of God, it does carry you places. I mean, the gift of preaching is what brought me here. You know, without that gift, I would not be here. Now this next one, verse 17, it says, the first to state his cause seems right until another comes and cross-examines this. Now, I find this a lot in myself, especially watching the ID channels, okay? So what do they have? You know, they show you the situation, there's been a wrong done, and then the guy that they caught, they go through all that and show why he's guilty. And I'm like, hey, he's guilty, throw away the key and all that. But then he gets to speak, and his lawyer gets to speak. And then I'm thinking, well, you know what? I kindly believe the old boy. So see, but that shows us we cannot get to snap judgments. You know, we need to hear out the whole story. This goes back to the one about answering before you even know what the situation is. So Proverbs are fun. Proverbs are a joy to study. All right. Casting the lot, verse 18, casting the lot ends quarrels and separates powerful opponents. Have any of y'all ever studied on what it meant to cast lots? It's neat. Listen, what they would do is they would take a branch from a fruit-bearing tree, and then they would break them off into different lengths. And on each one of those different parts of the branch, they would carve symbols or words. And then they would take them and randomly throw it out on a white sheet. Have you ever seen on a movie where they'll put the thing in the cup and they'll shake it up and then they'll throw it out like that and it just looks like chicken bones and all that stuff? Well, that's kind of what they would do. And then whoever it was, whether it was the priest or the father or whatever it was, they would begin to pray to God. And while they were praying, their eyes would be lifted up. And remember now, they throwed those pieces of branch on the thing and they would randomly reach down and grab one, and then they would look at it and would tell about what it meant based on the symbols that was there. And so what it meant, basically, to me, it was kind of like our drawing straws, flipping quarters, or something like that, you know, and when we agree on that, what is that one, playing rock, paper, scissors? But think about it. It separates powerful opponents. How? Well, me and Brother Gary, we're not going to cast lots. But if we were, we'd both be agreed on the results of the lot that were cast. And so it would keep us from being in a conflict with one another. And that's how it was used in the Old Testament and in the New. Verse 19, and some still do practice that today. I mean, they do cast the lots like that. An offended brother is harder to reach than a fortified city. And quarrels are like a fortress. Anybody got any experience with that? It is. It is. Friends and family, close friends and family, once they've been hurt, it's harder for them to get over it. It's harder for us to get over it when we're hurt by a brother or a sister or a family member. And notice what it says, though. It says that the quarrels are like bars in the fortress. What does that mean? It means that the arguments, they're like a prison cell. When we fuss and when we quarrel, it's like bars surrounding us. And that, I mean, it limits us. We can't come to a conclusion because of the quarrels or the bars that are standing in our way. Amen? Verse 20, right? From the fruit of a person's mouth, their stomach is filled. He is filled with the product of his lips. Let's go on and read verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So verse 20 and 21 kind of go on together. But what do you think that means right there? That. And how many of you, that is, you know, that they'll do it. But how many of you have ever seen somebody whose parents maybe spoke down to them, told them you're never going to be anything, you'll never amount to nothing? And many times what happens there is that they have no self-esteem. And so they become what their parents spoke over them. Same thing in other areas. I remember somebody from school that I went to school with, and I'll take my place, but was called a homosexual. We was mean. We bullied him. And you know what? He ended up becoming that. And I feel guilt in that because of the part I played in it, you know. But notice what it says. Life and death are in the power of our tongue, you know. We need to speak life over our family. We need to speak blessings over our church, over our county, over COVID. We need to speak life over it, that our God is greater and he's going to bring us in victory over that. Because, notice what it says, if negatively or positive, whatever we say, that will come to fruition in our life. You remember in the garden, God spoke and it was. Amen? Well, guess what? He made us in his image, didn't he? So we speak, and many times, I'm not saying that we have the power of God to speak, but in his image and likeness, the things that we speak many times become a reality. Brother Otis? Amen. I'll never forget. It was my daddy, and they were doing a pastor appreciation, and so all of us, my two brothers and I, came, and we sat on the front pew. And that day, my father came and he rebuked any negativity he had ever spoken over us, and then he also spoke blessings and prosperity over each one of us. And praise God, we need to do that to our family, to our friends, and praise God, let the words become a reality in our lives. Anybody else had a situation with that? It does. Amen. You can. Negative thought, negative speech will rob you of your joy, and it's like a broken spirit. Oh, amen. Amen. And you know what? The wounds last longer, too. Some of those wounds never heal. It's spoken to you. Verse 22. A man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Ladies, do I get an amen on that? All right. But you know, Proverbs speaks a lot about the relationship between men and women and marriage. You remember, it talks about with a contentious woman, it's like a continuous dripping. And then another one is, dwell on the rooftop, then be in the house with a contentious woman. But look what he says, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown to her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. You know, I mean, I thank God that God didn't answer my prayers when I was 17 and 18 and let me marry the one I was praying that I'd marry when I was 17 and 18. Because we sure wouldn't be where we are now. Amen. But God had his way and he brought me Amy. Look there in Proverbs 19:14. Houses and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is of the Lord. And that Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, meaning that when they wrote that one, they had to take a bath before they were able to write the word. And then in Proverbs 31, amen, we know this one, a virtuous woman, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. Amen? I think that your spouse is the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life. The first being is what will you do with Christ Jesus? And the second one is your spouse. Because you know that a spouse can make you or break you. Amen? Verse 23, the poor person pleads, but the rich one answers roughly. Don't it make a big difference in how you respond according to the position you're in? Amen? Many times, and Brother Otis, Brother Ken, and others, you can amen this. Many times when people call here and need assistance, they're the sweetest, nicest, best you'll ever get. But once they get past, they get what they want, they can be very mean and very short and do that. I think that it's probably seen at Hope sometimes when it's there. But the position, the poor person, they're going to beg and plead and be as nice as they can because they want to receive or to make it pleasant. But the rich person, and you probably, somebody who's got money and don't have to worry about it, they don't care how they talk to you. Amen? Why? Because what you going to do? That's it. And then finally, a man who would have friends must first show themselves friendly, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, I've got some family members that are very likable people, very friendly people, but sometimes in a group, they seem unsociable. And what it is a lack of self-esteem inside of them, and so they don't put themselves out, and they have a bit of social awkwardness, and so it seems like that they're snobs and that they're away. But we have to be willing to lower our guard if we want to be with people. That's one of the difficult things as a pastor that we've learned is that this is the third church that God has called me as a senior pastor. But you have to be willing to lower your guard every time you go to a new place and receive those people so that they'll receive you as well. But I know it's difficult sometimes when you have to leave friends and all that. But to have a friend, and who is the friend that sticks closer than a brother? Praise God. It is the one that lives inside of us, that undergird us and empowers us. Amen. All right, any thoughts on Proverbs chapter 18 tonight? I think it's, I enjoy the Proverbs. And again, if you don't know where to begin your Bible study, Proverbs has 31 chapters, and whatever day of the week it is, you can jump on, or whatever day of the month it is, the date, just go along with that, and you'll have a daily reading. And you'll be amazed at how most of the time something that you read that day is going to affect your life. All right, we do have our prayer needs tonight. Number one, we want to pray for the lost, those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Also, we want to pray for the backslidden, marriages. The devil is doing his best to tear them apart, even godly homes, godly marriages. The depressed, and those that are dealing with chemical imbalances and things like that. That's one of the unseen sicknesses. But as the church, we need to begin to recognize it and that it is just as real as any other sickness or hurt that someone might be in. Also, COVID, as we just told you, Miss Henrietta Roach, and Brother Keith, all of them. Miss Henrietta has it, and then one of the daughters has it, but all of them's been exposed, and so they're needing our prayers. Susie Drorty, Maggie Stetzer, Teresa Holden, Brother Wayne and Sister Tammy and their family, Miss Susan Hood, good reports on her, the last I heard, Bridget Barnes, Austin Hinkle, he came through open heart surgery well, the Thomas Graham family, Cindy Osborne, Amy Haas and her shoulder, Shannon Haynes, that's Brother Robbie Haynes, the pastor of Jonesville Baptist. She got a good report, just got that today, so praise the Lord for that. Laura Evans and her children, Brother Jeff C's mother with the healing of her hip, Gladys and JT Jones, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Wilma Jacobs, Doris Williams family, and then also Jessica Adams family. She has COVID. Miss Priscilla, Ethan Bowen, Paul Storier, and his son Thomas, a cancer there. Susie Hill, Dustin and Cynthia Pearson, and baby Carol Carter, Emily Ward, Alicia Hill, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Sister Catherine, Sister Pansy, Mr. Bobby Lee, Sister Henrietta, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Tommy and Alma Mullins, Haley Webb, Frank and Mary Garrett, Sean and Don Garinetti, Carol Dishner, Greg Bartlett, Barb Cope, Darlene Porter, Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jeanette Carter, Linda Jordan, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Jesse Bull and Pam Savarsky, Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Tony Bard, Wilma and Don Daniels, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Jay and Ruby Keck, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Lottie Johnson, Bill Leeds, Sister Phyllis and Brother Hoyt Bledsoe, Miss Liza Fletcher, Sister Margaret and Brother Chet Wheeler, Sister Helen Bowen, Sister Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Sister Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, and then how many of you remember Miss Betty McCorkle? That sister, well, she had a stroke. And from what they can tell is that she spent 24 to 48 hours by herself after the stroke, and she's in Johnson City right now, and they're calling hospice in. So unless God touches it, she's not got long for this world. But Brother Otis and Brother Paul can verify that she's pretty certain on where she's going when she dies and who is her Lord and Savior. Amen. And the only thing that I regret is we didn't get to baptize her. You know, she was wanting to be baptized, but she was never well enough, you know, to be baptized. Anyone else tonight? Yes. Okay. Anyone else?
Larry Harris.
What's that last name?
Harris.
Okay.
And let's pray so hard
for our Easter morning. Amen. Yeah, we rebuke that in Jesus' name. Speak life and not death, blessings and not curses. It ain't going to rain, right? Hold on, I have another prayer need that I just remembered. Larry Neal, that is a member of my father's church, but his 39-year-old son passed away this morning at 8:30. I don't know anything that happened, but, you know, it don't matter how it happened, you know, just the loss. Anyone else? Amen. And all of us carry our unspoken. Brother Kent, just raising your hand, okay. All right, if nothing else, it's good to be with you tonight. Sorry I've kept you a little longer than usual, but Brother Otis, would you come and just have prayer over these prayer needs? And don't forget the lost. We have our list. Yes, ma'am. How old was he? Mm-hmm. It was COVID.
Yeah, he did have some complications. But they're a special needs student. He's loved by everybody.
I was at three bus drivers today, but at some point, he had three good drivers. They were the most. He brought a smile to everybody. So, he's probably been in several schools in the county, and they touched a lot of lives.
I didn't realize he was that young. Man, I didn't realize that. Anyone else before Brother Otis? All right, it's yours, brother.
Let's pray. Father, we just come thanking you for the opportunity to speak your name, to be in your presence, to be in Thomas Village Baptist Church with our loved ones, our friends, our family, our church family. And we just thank you for each one here tonight and those that couldn't be here. We pray your blessings upon those that may be sick and hurting or having to quarantine for this COVID. And God, we know you're in control. We're not. We admit we have no control of what happens. But it's just good to know one who does. You control all things. You know all things. You do all things. You see all things. You see my weaknesses, my good side, my bad side, all of us. We're not invisible to you. You see all of our hearts.
Yes.
And you tell us in your word that it's the intent of the heart that you look upon. What we intend to do, what we think about in our hearts. We might speak good words outside of our bodies, but it's what's in our heart. You tell us in your word that counts. And you change hearts and you change lives. And we just ask you, be at these, each request that's been made tonight, whether it be a lost family, a member or a friend or a neighbor, or whether it be sickness in the families. And we all have issues. We all have families. And if we live, we're going to have issues. Mm-hmm. And we just pray you help us through those, Lord, and lead us in your way and not our way.
Yes, Lord.
Our thoughts are not even resemble your thoughts. Your ways are way above our minds and even knowing. And we just thank you for being a Lord and our Savior, Jesus, and dying for us, a sinner. And we just continue to pray for our church family that we can return back to being in church and having full church and Sunday school and Awanas and children's church and we're just going to speak those things, Lord, so that you can let them happen when it's your will. And again, we just thank you for each one here tonight and for loving us another day and giving us another day. And we thank you for hearing our prayers and our petitions and our groanings and our complaining. You still love us no matter what we say, what we do. You can't unlove us. But we fall out of fellowship with you many times. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers and bind us together in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all.